This is episode number 463 with Disney star and YouTube influencer Jake Paul.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Oh, we've got a good one today on the podcast. One of the fastest growing YouTube influencers in the world. One of the fastest growing on the platform is Jake Paul. And yes, he's from my home state of Ohio. Big props to Ohio in the house. Now, for those that don't know who Jake is, he's an actor and an internet personality who rose to fame on Vine. And he portrays Dirk on the Disney Channel's comedy series Bizardvark. He has over 3 million followers on YouTube. He does daily vlogs to share his life and all the pranks he does, the interesting things that he does on a daily basis. And he's more than just a YouTuber. He's an entrepreneur. He's raised money for his business. He's launched other media personalities. He's one of the young guys out there who are doing incredible things and really thinking farther beyond than most people his age do. And I'll let him share more about what he's doing, what he's up to. Some of the things we talk about are how Jake raised over $1 million in investor funds for a brand new media company at the young age of 20. Also, we talk about why mainstream media is still relevant, even though he puts a lot of his energy on building his social media platforms right now. The key to dealing with haters in real life. Now, as you can imagine, someone who gets thousands and thousands of comments and millions of views on their videos is going to have some critics and haters from time to time. So Jake's got some great advice on that. Also, why surrounding yourself with positive people is so essential to success and how to get the courage to make a massive change in your life. Guys, we cover a lot in this episode, and it's super inspiring to see someone like Jake, who's so young, doing so many big things and chasing his dreams and moving to LA, leaving high school to come chase his dreams. For me, it's so inspiring to see someone do this and do it so well. And before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to the review of the week. Now, each week we talk about the people who leave reviews over on iTunes. And this is from the boss Capone, who said, "Lewis has always given his listeners phenomenal content on every podcast. But in episode 452 with Mel Robbins behind the mic, this interview was the game changer. I don't know how, nor do I care to know how, but from start to finish, my mind was completely blown and it immediately clicked and made sense with the learning about the 5-second rule. Now, immediately, I implemented this into my life and I couldn't believe I was awarded with such positive results so quickly. My friends, listening to the School of Greatness podcast has changed my life in so many amazing ways, and I know without a doubt it's only going to get better and better. Lewis, my hat goes off to you, sir. You have an amazing gift, and it's much appreciated that you share it with us all." So the boss, Capone, thank you so much for your review over on iTunes.com/greatness. And if you want to be considered as the review of the week, make sure to leave a review over there and let me know what you think about the podcast, an episode you really liked, how it's changed your business, your life, your relationships in any way, because I love seeing how it impacts you. Now, without further ado, let's dive into this episode with the one, the only Jake Paul.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got a young buck in the house, Jake Paul. Good to see you, man.
What is up, everybody? Good Thank you for you. Having me. Oh, that was a handshake.
That was a handshake. I'm excited for this because I don't think many of my people know who you are, but you're probably the fastest growing influencer in the world right now, especially on YouTube. You said you were the 5th fastest YouTube channel right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. For the past couple of days, I've been like in the top five, growing like 60,000 subscribers
it's
a day.
Insane, man. You just hit 2.5 million subscribers and you're 4 months into launching your YouTube channel.
Yeah. So
it's crazy. And you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's insane, man.
You know, I started, you know, vlogging 4 months ago. And everyone was like, yo, you should vlog. And when I came into this space, there was like kind of a set way of doing it.
And there's so many people doing it, right?
So many people doing it. And what I saw was no one was innovating, and I kind of studied like for 2 weeks just watching all the channels, figuring out what people were doing, and I had a brainstorm session, and I like wrote down all these things that I thought I could like do better or implement, and just started going for it, and it started off really slow, man.
Really?
Really
What's slow? Like 20,000 subscribers a day? Slow?
No, really? Like... I remember for about the whole first month, the videos were only getting like 20,000 views in a day.
Well, the first month.
Yeah. And so that was like discouraging. And I was like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Like maybe they're right about their like style. And I just kept on like pushing. And eventually like a couple of videos started to do well. And I was exposed to a new audience. Mm. And that's when it kind of just all started taking off.
Mm. And you started getting millions of views.
Yeah, millions of views. I think it's at like 2 million views per day to 2.5
per video.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's insane.
It's a lot of work, though.
I know, because you're doing it daily, right? 7 days a week?
7 days a week, nonstop. It's like I finish filming a video, and then, you know, like you wake up not even 12 hours later, you're like starting the whole process over again.
The whole thing.
And so you're like, oh, wow, I got a great video for today. But then it's like hits you and you're like, but what am I doing tomorrow?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you constantly top it? Because you don't want it to be, you know, worse than the previous day. You want it to be bigger and better every day, right?
Yeah, it's hard. And that's the struggle. And it takes a lot of time. But I think it's about... I have all of these ideas, and I think a lot of creators have a ton of ideas. The difference is now you just have to figure out how to execute it in like that.
And make it look cool and interesting
in a day
and then edit it and have it up the next day.
Exactly.
Do you turn it around the next day or is it a 2-day swing?
It's the next day.
So you record and then it's up the next day.
Yep.
And it's pretty impressive because we met at the White House, actually, where you did a pretty interesting prank stunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, got into some interesting kind of trouble there, right? Did the FBI show up to your house or something? Or
yeah, the Secret Service.
Secret Service.
So I tried to stay overnight at the White House because I was like, yo, I'm probably about to be at the White House one time in my life. And
right.
It's right now. And there was a ton of other influencers there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, how can I innovate again and do something that like none of them would even think about doing?
Right.
And then executing it. And so I tried to stay as long as I could at the White House. I made it to like 3 a.m. and posted the video the next day. And the day after that, I get a call from the Secret Service. And... they're like, hey, we're at your door. Like, come outside. And I was like, I'm not even home. I was like in Las Vegas doing whatever. And they knock on the door and like my assistant comes out and is like, she's scared out of her mind. She doesn't know what's going on. They like interview her. And so I eventually had to talk to them, but didn't get in trouble because I was invited there. And
you didn't stay the night either. You were just there late.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So. Interesting. But it was funny because it was got a lot of attention because it was like risky and it was, you know. I guess innovative. No one would do that, but
and it was kind of hot because it was right around the
election.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was getting some viral juice probably from kind of those topics, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. So you, and what's this cool when I, you know, when we first connected, and I've known about you from your brother Logan, who's been on the show, and but when we first met, we I just watched your style, your video edit, filming style, and you were filming, and then you'd speak into the camera and you'd say something, and I was like, "What is he doing there?" And you were like, "Well, I'm telling my editor, you know, what to do there, what clip to put in, what edit to do right there." And I think that's smart because you give that person direction as to exactly what you want, your vision, and it goes on the camera, and then you just upload it, and then it's ready the next day. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think a lot of what differentiates influencers, mm-hmm. Is we're the producers, we're the writers, we're the talent, we're the directors.
And mostly, usually the editors too.
Yeah, most of the time they're editors. And like I personally, for my vlogs and stuff, I have an editor, which like a lot of people don't know. So exclusive.
Okay.
School of Greatness exclusive.
There you go.
And
but you'd be up all night if you did it.
Exactly. And I have, you know, which I think we'll dive into later. I have all of this other stuff going on.
Yes.
And so I have to have
an editor. You can't film and be the talent and then edit all night because it takes, you know, 5 to 8 hours of doing editing. I'm
exactly.
Assuming.
And what I realized, like in the influencer space, all of the vloggers would edit their vlogs.
All of them.
And I was like, why?
You can't scale that.
You can't scale that, number one. Number two, I'm not the best editor out there. And number three, it's another 8 hours.
Yeah.
And like, yo.
It's going to drain you. You can't be creative for the next day. You can't work out. You can't be healthy. All these things, right?
Exactly. And that's what, I think is a differentiating factor, which is why I'm finding a lot of success, is because I'm starting my vlogs at 9 a.m. when like the other vloggers are still on editing until like noon or 1.
Right.
And it's a little cost on my end.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
Why are people not willing to invest in that editor or in that team to kind of build their brand? Why do they all, it seems like a lot of them just are one man or woman show, right?
Yeah. So the one answer I consistently get is like, oh, I don't trust anyone with my edits. Like I have a very specific style. And like you said, I'm telling the editor like my style. And like from the start, the day one that we started working together, his style was different than mine. But I conformed him into my style after coaching.
It groomed over time. Yeah.
Exactly. Giving him notes, like being super picky, saying like this cut here should have been 1 second. And then
really
now
that detailed.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of vloggers are like, I want to edit my stuff because they want it to be like their edit.
Their way.
But now my editor does it in my style. Plus special effects, plus like all these cool like things and that
sounds
stuff that I
and
can't
this
do that.
And that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. And it was probably a growing pain for you. It was probably like a month and a half of like, I wish I didn't have to put this out right now. Or I wish it could have been a little different, but it got better as you went over time, right?
Exactly. There was a couple of times where I was like, yo, like this could have been better, but now he's just like killing it. So
there you go. Yeah. So invest in people, invest in, you know, the growing pains of it maybe not being your way perfect all the time, but getting there eventually, right?
Yep, exactly.
Now, did you always want to do video? Were you always a kid who was like into video? You know, I mean, I know your brother, his story, but what's your story about that?
Yeah, I kind of just like always loved doing it. Mm-hmm. And
By the way, before we go into this, you're from Ohio, so big props
bump.
To Ohio.
Yep.
And growing up in Ohio, there's not much to do.
Well, that's part of the story, right? So we were 10 years old, like playing football, yeah. Like uh-huh. every Ohioan, including yourself. And yep. So we got a camera to record our football games so that we could watch the tape back and get better. And we just took it and started basically recording whatever we were doing.
Right.
And we were super bored, so we'd find like dumb stuff, potato guns, four-wheelers. And this was when we were like 10 years old, me and my brother and
he's a couple years older than you?
Yeah, he's 2 years older.
Yep.
And so he and I would just like record everything that we were doing, and eventually found out about YouTube, started posting the videos there, got inspired from like other channels, and started like scripting the videos out more, got a little bit better at it, got better at editing, and just did it for fun. And I think we did it for like 4 years and had like 1,000 subscribers.
On YouTube.
Yeah, but
yeah.
It was just something we did for fun. Our friends would be like, yo, you're hilarious. Our teachers would be like, oh, I saw that one. That was funny. And that was like all the encouragement we needed.
Right. So 4 years of kind of testing and training and just playing for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when did things kind of like you realize, oh, this is something I actually want to do more and I can make a living from it? Or
yeah, so we were then fast forward a couple of years. I was a sophomore.
In high school.
Yeah, and my brother was a senior, mm-hmm. and he just finished like all of his ACTs, SATs.
Yeah.
He already had like a full ride to Ohio University. I finished wrestling season, whatever. And he was like, yo, we should start making videos again and posting them online. And I was like, yeah, there's nothing else going on.
Summertime, what else do we do? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And we picked up a camera again, and now we are a little bit older, you know, a little bit funnier, whatever, mm-hmm. More mature, and we had that skill from the past and started making a couple of videos and then posting them to YouTube. Same thing. Our friends thought we were funny. That was about it. But then the app Vine comes out, and jump on that platform the day it comes out, immediately start making videos because, again, it was like supernatural. And told my brother about it. We're, you know, making these 6-second videos. And then one day he's like, yo, you should be doing a different camera angle than that one. And I was like, dude, like, what are you talking about? I have more followers than you. And I had like 100 and he had like 50. And that pissed him off. He's the older brother. We're super competitive. And that day he started like studying Vine and really like taking it seriously and putting time and effort into these videos because he wanted to get more followers than me. And so I started to see that. And like in 3 days, he passed me just from like putting that effort in. And then I was like, yo, I need to catch up to him. And so we were in the middle of Ohio spending like hours making these 6-second videos and they were turning out good.
Yeah.
And it was just the start of Vine. So there was like a lot of room to innovate and kind of do whatever you want. And one of the videos that we made one day went viral.
Which one was this?
We basically like hacked Vine. It's a little confusing to explain, but we hacked Vine essentially, which no one had like seen before. And the video, we posted it up. And it was like the most success we ever got from a video before.
What was the video you were doing though? What was in the video?
So my brother like had his phone, and at the time you had to like hold the screen on Vine to record, and he dropped his phone, but it kept on recording.
So people were like,
"How'd you do that?" Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
people were just more blew their minds. Away. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was like this cool trick.
Right, right.
And from that, he gained 5,000 followers, wow. And I gained like 4,000 or something. And we had that taste of like viral success.
You're like, oh, let's do it more.
Exactly. It's like once you start to build that momentum and like you see what works, you then can build off of that and continue to do what's mm-hmm. working. And so, you know, we just invested more time into it and it was like super fun. We're like, wow, we're like Vine famous, whatever. really had no idea what we were getting into.
Sure.
And, you know, 5,000 followers turned into 50,000, then 100,000. Then I remember I was at like 300,000. My brother was at like 600,000. And someone called us up and was like, hey, you know, we'll give you money to, you know, promote our app across your Vine following. And this was when like social media brand deals were like very new.
No one knew what to do.
Exactly. No one knew how much to charge, whatever. And so he was like, yo, we'll give you like $250. And I was like, yeah,
I'm rich.
I know. I was used to landscaping for $10 right. an hour.
Yeah. Mowing lawns and exactly. paper routes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was stoked. And once that happened, I was like, oh, I can make money from this. I'm going to put even more time and effort into this. And that's how my brother felt too. And we kept on growing and growing. And then I think when it really like dawned upon me that this was like something special, someone from like Texas called and was like, hey, come to Texas. We're doing this like meetup with your fans. Like you can tell your fans to come meet you here. I'll pay you like $1,000 to come to this, you know, tour is what they called it. And so I like made a couple vines, told my fans to meet me there, fly to Texas, which was like an awesome experience. I'd never really like traveled much out of Ohio on my own.
And you're 16 at the time.
Exactly, 16. Yeah. And I land in Dallas, drive to the hotel, mm-hmm. and I pull up to the hotel, and there's like 500 girls outside.
Screaming.
Screaming, Jake, Jake, Jake.
You're like, what?
I was like, yo, what is this? Like, this is surreal right
wow.
now. And I recorded it and I sent it to my brother and my parents. And it was kind of like a moment of like, this is tangible. Like this, that number of like having like 500,000 followers, like was no longer just a number. It's like, it almost made sense that there's actually 500,000 people
yeah.
out there. And it was kind of a big moment for, I think, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the vision got bigger and like what this could become got bigger. And I started talking to a lot of different people about this, and the space was kind of evolving, and the pay and stuff started to go
bigger,
up
yeah.
and bigger brands were wanting to get involved with like social posts. And I also was dealing with like the negative side of things, where like kids in my school were like, oh, you think you're so cool, like you think you're famous, like whatever.
Really?
Yeah, and that was...
Because you were a junior at the time or whatever, right? You were going to be a junior, and were a lot of like kids recognizing you and following you that were in your school?
Yeah, so like the lower classmen would like come up to me in the hallways and like want to take pictures, but then the upper classmen would be like jealous of that.
Really?
And like they all would like, you know, go against me. And I would
wow.
actually, it even like affected wrestling. So like I would go into wrestling tournaments, and like when I walked in the gym, like everyone would look at me.
Shut up.
Yeah. And like Vine, this was when like Vine was like blowing up. And so like everyone had it.
They were all posting about you and this and that. Or
yeah. And like then you'd have the haters. I lost like my junior year, I lost like 6 matches, and all of them were on Vine. Like
no way, just
all
like,
of them were on
Jake
Vine.
Sucks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh my
like
god,
Jake Paul losing, Jake Paul getting like his ass beat, whatever.
No
blah,
way.
Blah. So
that sucks.
Yeah, that was like a.
Did you make it to state?
No, I was so close. I was like one match away.
Oh,
like
man.
District.
Ohio wrestling is tough.
It's tough. Yeah, Division One.
And your size was probably like the toughest class.
152. I was
oh
like right
god.
In the middle.
That's
yeah,
really tough, man.
Yeah, my senior year though, I wish I could have gone my senior year.
Nah.
But yeah, we had like St. Ed's in our division.
They're
and like all that
beasts.
Yeah,
yeah, that's crazy, man.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. You can't always trust your gut. Like those times when it tells you to have that extra piece of cake, or when it tells you to skip your morning routine and sleep in another few hours. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Ritual invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed their symbiotic Plus significantly increased microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. Rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. Personally, I love Ritual's Symbiotic Plus because it keeps my gut feeling balanced and is super convenient. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/greatness. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/greatness for 25% off.
So all these kids started to recognize you in school. Kids hated you. Kids loved you. And, you know, you started doing these meetups. I remember seeing... I think it was a Vine or something on video of Logan when he was at Ohio University. He posted a video where he did like a meetup and there was like 1,000 kids there or something at his school. Yep. He was like, yo, this is crazy. And he said something about it. And I was like, this has got to be interesting if you're in school and your classmates know you that well. But you're not like a celebrity on TV yet, but you're almost more famous to them.
Yeah, it was a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And it was like the kids that I grew up with were like hating on me. But then like I would go home and like all I'd be getting is like love on my phone. Right. So it was a little bit tough to deal with. Weird. And like my mom would like call up their moms and be like, your son is like yelling at me, my son, and like saying he's this and that. So it was definitely an interesting like process to go through. But, you know, what I started to realize is that the city that I lived in, particularly, like, I don't know about the rest of Ohio, but it was kind of like this bubble of, like, there's a certain way to do things. And if you go out of that mold, you get hated on. That's true. So that's why
the bubble, if you strive for more, sometimes people don't like that, right?
Exactly. And they try to pull you back into the bubble. But then kind of when I started to realize, like, okay, like, Coca-Cola is hitting me up. Like these fans in Texas, like I went to Los Angeles and met a couple of people and like they were on such a different level than me still. And I realized like this bubble and I realized I can think so much bigger than this. And my brother and I would talk about it all the time. And so we realized, okay, if we want to pursue this and like turn it into something and keep on growing this, like we need to be in Los Angeles and grow and dive into the entertainment space and make this more than just like social media.
Because now you were getting relationships with other influencers who were probably living here and talking about the opportunities. I'm assuming you were doing, you know, collabs with people, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And and like you said, we would talk to the influencers here and they'd be like,
you gotta be in LA. Yeah.
You gotta be in LA. Like this happens. You'll meet this person, mm-hmm. you know, they can hook you up with more brand deals. You know, if you're going to be doing like movie promotions, you're going to have to be here anyways.
Yeah.
If you want to act, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, okay, we got to move to Los Angeles.
And you're a senior now or what?
I wasn't even a senior. No. I was like just finishing my wrestling season junior year.
Wow.
And my parents were like, okay, like, you know.
They want you to go to college? And they were like,
yeah.
What were they saying about this?
They understood it, thankfully. But my grades like weren't that good.
Of course.
And because I was spending all the time like making the vines and wrestling. Uh-huh. And my parents were like, you need to get good grades if you want to go to Los Angeles. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, you don't get it. I'm not going to get good grades because if I focus on that, then I'm going to be taken away from like what's actually working and making me money right now. And my brother was like kind of in the same boat in college. And he was like, this is almost pointless. My teachers were being negative towards me. Like I even had one teacher say like, what are you going to do in Vine dies? And like just dogging on me in front of like the whole class. And I was like, this is a negative environment and like not helping me at all. So I basically like tried to convince my parents every day. And I think in the back of their minds.
Every day you're saying something to them.
Yeah. And I think in the back of their minds, they knew that like I was going to go because like my mind was set on it.
At 18, you're like, I'm out either way. Exactly. Either support me or.
You're going to support me now and like. I'm going to do it when I'm 18 regardless. And then like, you know, it'll be a bad relationship.
There'll be some tension. Either, yeah, help me get there or peace out. And exactly. I'm never coming back type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they knew that. They were just like, wanted me to
get good. And then Logan, what happened with him? He left after his freshman year or?
Yeah. So we both, I was transitioning into online school towards the end of my junior year.
So you didn't go to senior year?
No.
You left school?
Yeah.
After the junior year, you were like, peace out.
I left like 5 days early. And
before the first day of class. Oh, you left 5 days early of junior year?
Yeah, junior year.
You didn't finish?
No, I didn't even like technically finish. I did like my last exam. And I actually remember, this is funny. I don't think people know this, but I remember walking out of the classroom and like kind of the whole school knew that I was moving to Los Angeles and there was a lot of stigma around it being like, oh, we'll see you back here when you fail, blah, blah, blah. Wow. And so I remember like walking out on the last day and like I walked through this lunch and like almost the whole school was in there and everyone was just staring at me. And I just like was looking right out the doors and like from that day on, I told myself I would never go back to that school just because like of how much of a negative environment it was, unless I was in a Rolls Royce. So wow. Since that day, I walked out of those doors, got in my car and left. And I haven't been back since. And I'm only going to go back if I'm in a Rolls Royce. I don't know why, but
that's just what you thought of at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, man.
And so, yeah, basically moved to Los Angeles. My brother dropped out of high school, left
college, right?
Or yeah, college.
So he didn't finish his freshman year.
He finished
his freshman year. Finished and then left college.
Yeah, he left a full ride.
Full academic ride?
Yeah, full academic ride.
Logan's that smart, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
To move to Los Angeles, and I flew there. He drove his car out there, and
oh my gosh!
Basically, got over into like West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys live together at the beginning?
Or? Yeah, we lived together.
Amazing.
And I think I was 17 at this time. I think I was 17. Yeah, I think I was 17. And we lived together, moved in, super excited. Like, you know, we're in the big city. And we got all of our stuff settled in, and we kind of like sat down and we were like, okay, now what do we do?
Wow. And were you making enough money to pay for your own rent? Were your parents helping out with that? What was that situation?
It was all like our own money.
You guys. So you were making enough then, you were making whatever, 5-10 grand a month or something, or
yeah,
not even,
it was
or
probably
kind of
like
combined.
I was probably making like 8 grand a month, and like my bro was probably making like a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But it was growing exponentially,
of
like
course,
every month. And the rent was like expensive, and we had to buy our own furniture and Ubers and all that stuff. And so we had to grow up like really fast. Doing my own.
Your parents weren't here. You're living on your own.
Exactly. Like cleaning dishes, doing laundry, like all of the stuff that you don't think about.
They'll do it until after you're done with college.
Exactly. And it sort of all added up. And
wow.
The first kind of like 2 to 3 months in Los Angeles were like meeting people, like mingling, not really knowing what to do. But we went there, and in my mind, I knew I wanted to like continue to do social media and build that, but use the social media to act and to do business. And I didn't necessarily like know what that meant when I was like getting into it.
You wanted to be an actor?
Yeah.
Why?
I just loved being in front of camera and creating, and then like watching myself afterwards and being like, okay, how can I play that scene better? How can I like, you know, create something more, even more entertaining? And yeah, basically just like saw my inspiration was like Leonardo DiCaprio, and I saw like what he did, and I just wanted to like follow that same route. And a lot, like almost all of the social media kids were like thinking the same thing. They're like, we're all going to act. We're all going
to, we want to be on Disney. We want to be on this TV show, this movies.
Exactly. And my brother and I were like, okay, how do we set ourselves apart? You know, we already kind of have our foot in the door with the following, because like the casting directors, the producers
want to get traction to
their projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the,
so you could promote it and say, hey, we'll get all our fans to watch this.
Exactly. Cause at the end of the day, Hollywood's a business. And if I have 10 million people going to a film, like that's money for them.
Yeah.
But I knew there's, you know, 150 social media kids that were trying to do this. So
how
I was
do
like,
you differentiate. Yeah.
I was like, yo, I need to get the talent. I need to like improv class. I need to, acting. I need to go to acting class and really like hone this skill and audition a lot of times and fail a lot of times, before I can like walk into the room, nail something like really good. Cause I knew the following would help me get into the doors. But
so you started doing, these classes right away then? You started doing improv?
Yeah. I started doing improv and like acting classes like almost every day, and started like honing the skill. And when I dove into it, like I didn't realize how hard it was. It was very difficult, and it's so different than social media. And I realized that like on social media, I was at the top of my game. In acting, I was literally at the bottom of the pole.
Worst.
Yeah. And like I just remember like my acting teacher, who's like your typical like Hollywood acting teacher, like yelling at me like,
really?
You suck, blah, 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 like do this, like no, redo, like,
and in front of a group of people,
humiliated. Exactly.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I was like the youngest person in the class, and like it was definitely a learning experience, but I got so much better from it. And through that, I like learned the craft and learned the basics. And then from there, like started to grow. And I'm still doing that like till this day. But at least I was like on my path, you know,
yeah.
And, started auditioning here and there, eventually, booked a couple of roles. I did like YouTube Red, one of YouTube Red's like first movies, a Fox Digital movie. And then
smaller roles, I'm assuming, or.
Yeah, the one was smaller and the one was like more of a lead role,
mm-hmm.
Which like being on set and like having that experience,
it's priceless. Right?
Yeah, it's priceless. And it was like so beneficial in the long run because you see how the acting classes then apply in real life because, you know, you're on set, you're kind of just chilling. Then it's like makeup, wardrobe, here are your lines, stand here, go. And it's like that fast. And before you know it, you're like, oh my God, like I'm in front of camera. Like they're about to roll. And then everything's on you, like 50 people. And you have to like nail your lines and nail your take. So
how did you do? Did you ever mess up a bunch when you were like, when it was rolling on you, or were you pretty prepared?
I was pretty prepared. Cause I was like, yo, this is my first thing. Like
you gotta be ready.
I was nervous though.
I can imagine.
I was really nervous.
Did you have to do a lot of takes or did you kind of get your groove? How did that work?
I kind of got the groove. I think the first couple of takes I was like nervous and it wasn't just like a solo scene or whatever.
Right.
So
that's good.
There was like other actors messing up and
oh, that's
like
nice.
That helped me. But then I would like mess up one and then we found the rhythm. But after the first kind of scene, the nervousness went away and I got comfortable with the director and the crew
And then you landed your own show, right, with Disney?
Yeah, so all those kind of like built up. Well, before Disney, my brother and I kind of had this attitude like, why are we waiting for other people to cast us when we know we're talented? We want to showcase our skills. Why not like write a movie? And I think, I don't know if you talked about this
a little bit, but go ahead. Yeah.
So like we sat down and we're like, okay, let's write a movie and went into that process, learned a lot about writing from that, finished the project and, then went to go like raise funds for it. And like, we had no idea what we were doing. But we like paired with some awesome people and, eventually we had Ron Burkle and Jonathan Ornstein fund the movie and like we got to see like our vision come to life and now it's like fully shot and edited and should be coming out like this year sometime. And it's called like Airplane Mode and we have like all of our social media friends in it. But that was like the idea, like, yo, we can do this on our own because we have the built-in audience. And I think we'll start to see like a lot more of that in the future. And like, I know we want to continue to do our own projects as well as be in these like traditional films. But yeah, I actually leading to your next one, I actually couldn't be in that movie because it's like rated R. And I booked the Disney show.
You couldn't be in Airplane Mode.
I couldn't be in it.
Cause it's rated R. Cause you're under 18 or what? How's that work?
Cause I booked the Disney show right before they're about to start shooting. I was like, I can't pass up this opportunity.
So because you're on a Disney show, you can't be in a rated R movie.
Well, yeah, it's pretty, I mean, there's like a gray line.
Sure.
But the script was like, it was pretty vulgar. And they were like, we can't really have you
no
in this.
Way. But so you didn't want to pass up on Disney?
Of course. Yeah. No, definitely not. And that like whole process of, you know, auditioning to be on Disney was like a whole nother level of like competition because there's so many kids and like so many different rounds of auditioning.
How many kids were there? How many rounds?
I think at the start there was like 10, but that was like after it was like narrowed down. So I don't know what the initial like search was, but
might have been hundreds in the beginning and then
yeah.
It got down to like 10 finalists and then you did a certain amount of rounds. Was it like a month of rounds or was it a couple of weeks?
It was like 2 to 3 weeks. And they would like have you test with like the other actors
yeah.
And, you know, figure out like who was vibing the best. And I remember just like seeing the character, and I immediately like understood who he was. And when I went to go do my first test with the girls who were already casted as like the two lead roles, I walk into this room, and there was like a giant table and like just 15 like executive looking people like just staring at me
with suits. You're like,
yeah. And I like walk in, I'm like, hey, like, what's up, guys? Like trying to like crack the, or like break the ice. And we went into the test.
Were you nervous, intimidated?
I was very nervous, but I practiced so much. I had my lines like perfectly memorized. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly like, you know, the arcs I was going to take throughout the scene. And like halfway through the scene, I was like playing it so good that the girls that I was testing with started laughing. They like broke character because I was like making them laugh so hard.
You were too good.
And yeah, and the executives were laughing too. And sort of after that one, like I came home and my brother was like, how did it go? And I was like, yo, I know I got the role. And I kind of just like had that mindset of like, yo, like I killed that one. I just got to keep on killing it, and eventually got the role.
Wow.
But it was an awesome process. And that was probably like one of the biggest moments of my career, getting the call like, hey, like you booked this Disney Channel show. It was very, very surreal.
It's crazy. That's like winning the state championship, national championship.
Exactly. And I knew that, I had to, you know, break into traditional media somehow, in some way. And if I was one of the first influencers to do so, then that would set me up for success in the future. Just because, like, having that experience under my belt, which is like the Disney, it's like a powerhouse brand. And their connections, and they own Marvel and ABC. And I was like, okay, this is the right place to be at. Wow. And the experience I gained from like just the first season of being on Bizardvark was massive. Like shooting 21 episodes, like I could memorize pages of lines in like minutes.
Really?
And blocking and four cameras pointed at me. And like I basically, throughout that process, I lost like all the nervousness I had as an actor. I completely like broke out of my shell. Which takes, sometimes it takes like a lot of actors a long time to get there. And then once they get there, they're like, they're some of the best actors that we see today.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it was such a huge moment to be able to have like a series regular job, something steady as an actor.
Yeah. And again, you're differentiating yourself from all the other big social media influencers who have, maybe they have 10 million followers, but they don't have mainstream credibility. They don't have something consistent. They're schlepping like sweet tea or whatever it is. They're like, you know, like vitamins online.
Yep.
To like continue to make money.
Yep.
Because they've got this audience, but they don't know how to build a business. They don't know how to build their own brand and traditional media around it. Maybe they're getting a few press hits or some articles or features, but they're not doing something like this, like a show, a movie, you know, getting bigger brand deals the way you are, which is interesting.
Exactly. And one thing that I noticed after like we finished filming, or after the show started airing, a demographic that never previously came up to me in public started coming up to me. And it was an audience that was like 5, 6, 7 years old that didn't even have cell phones. And so that was like,
you're getting 5 year olds come up to you?
Yeah. And this was,
what's your name on the show?
Dirk.
Dirk. So they say you're,
they
Dirk?
Don't even know Jake. They don't even know
Dirk.
Jake. Yeah. They say Dirk. Oh my God. Like you're on Bizardvark, and they don't even have cell phones.
Wow.
And that's that. And that moment I realized, okay, this decision to like spend a ton of time on making the show was so worth it, because I'm building into that audience who like eventually will have phones, who can eventually follow me on social media.
Wow.
And while I'm building out this like social media demographic. And so to me, it was all worth it when that started to happen.
Cause you're probably not making as much money as you could be on other things from the show. I'm sure it's making good money, but it's not like as big as a big brand deal could be for you just for one video.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And so you're almost sacrificing a certain area of your, you know, finances and your business to have a huge upside later. You're delaying the gratification
100%
by reaching an audience again that really can't do much for you right now, but but also tying yourself to Disney brand and saying you're an actor on Disney is massive.
Yeah. And that was, then that was like the thought around it. Like, I'm going to need to invest the time now, and this is going to pay off later. And the hustle on everything else is going to have to increase, because like even now I'm going to have to vlog every day while on set every day. So
wow,
it's a lot.
When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. The carb fear is real these days, but why does it feel like the carb-heavy foods are what we tend to love the most? After years of wishing there was a better go-to option when the carb craving hits, I finally discovered Hero Bread. Hero Bread makes those same delicious bready favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. There's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net carb Hero Croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit. Hero Bread looks, feels, and tastes just like any other bread you'd get at the grocery store, which is exactly what I was hoping for. Their white sliced bread is so good, and every time I make a sandwich with it, I can't believe something that tastes this good is actually adding extra protein to my meal. Don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co. Note, it's not .com. And use code greatness at checkout. Again, that's greatness at Hero. H-E-R-O.co.
How do you organize? You know, when I was 19, I couldn't even get to class, you know, and all I was doing was focusing on football and I don't know, like what I was going to eat that day. Like, how are you as a 19, you're 20 now, right?
Yeah.
How are you as a 20-year-old organizing your day, your finances, your life, thinking about acting, businesses that we haven't even talked about, building your content every day? Like, you're doing so much every day. How does someone at 20, when a lot of people are listening at 30, 40, 50 are struggling with organizing the day. How are you able to do that?
The number one thing, two words, time management.
And how are you like even thinking about that? And what did you, how have you learned how to do this?
So as like my day started to fill up to the point where like I couldn't do anything else in the day, I had to just go to sleep. I was like, how do I prioritize this? And I studied a lot about time management and like prioritizing the things that you need to get done on a day-to-day basis. What's more important, like you sitting on your phone and like texting people back right away, or getting your video done and to the editor and being on set and memorizing your lines and taking this specific meeting. And I then invested money to hire employees to like an assistant who can basically do a lot of these like small tasks for me that I don't necessarily need to be doing unless I have to be there. I'm not going to do it. And she's like scheduling my day and, you know, breaking down things as much as possible. And the biggest thing I can say is like habit, the power of like habit and like doing things consistently, you know, waking up at this time, starting your video at this time, having your weekly meeting on Monday at 10 with all of your employees. So, right. So that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, get a different piece of content for that day, 'cause you're not going to have as much time to film and, kind of just like knowing all of these things, but a lot goes into it. And you really, if you, like my saying is you got to want it. And I think that's like the number one thing is like, you got to want it. Like there's so much time in a day when I like pause and stop all of these things, I'm like so bored and like the time like just
yeah.
So I think I really started to realize like how much time there was in a day, and you got to want it and cut yeah. out all the stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even like a lot of influencers in particular, like they want to go out to eat for every single meal. Breakfast, go to a breakfast spot, lunch, go to a lunch spot, dinner, go to a dinner spot. That right there is like each of those activities is 2 hours. Yeah. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to get a personal chef and like have meal plans and microwave the stuff, cook it up. It's healthy, quick, done. So like little things like that yeah. you have to think about.
They are taking a lot of meetings, aren't they? Just like lunch and dinner meetings or just hanging with friends during breakfast.
A lot of it just like hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging.
Yeah.
It is 6 hours a day of just like eating.
Exactly.
And going to somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. Do you study anyone who does this? Are you reading books? How are you learning these things?
I forget the guy's name. Yeah. I was studying it. What's his name? Lee Clark, something. I don't know. He has a program called like Thrive 15, but have you heard of that?
Heard of that? Yeah.
So, I watched a couple of videos on there that really like talked about how,
time management and all these things, setting up your day.
Exactly. And the way I think about it is like, yeah, I'm doing all of these things, but like people are doing more.
Yeah.
Like there's celebrities doing more. So how can I do more? There's business people who are doing more. Like I just think about the CEO of Uber or you know, Snapchat. Like imagine how much stuff is on their to-do list. And they have to prioritize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about it in the same way as much as possible.
5 years ago, before you got into all this stuff, did you imagine you'd be here right now?
No.
What did you think you'd be doing? Like finishing school and going to college and, you know, have a girlfriend? Or what was your vision then?
My vision then, I was actually training. I was starting to train to become a Navy SEAL.
Really?
Yeah.
That's typical Ohio. You know, it's like.
Of course. No, I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
My grades weren't that good. But I was athletic. I knew how to work hard and I was smart. I just didn't ever like apply myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so started in like the Navy SEALs, is like everything that I loved, like competition, mental toughness,
brotherhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, fell in love with that and started putting a lot of effort into like figuring out how I was going to do that. And I mean, it's still something I want to do, but
maybe you can play a Navy SEAL on a movie.
Exactly. That's the great thing about Hollywood is like, cool, you can do everything.
Yeah. So you're on that track and then these things kind of unfold. When you started to get the traction, did you realize like, oh, I want to be like this influencer person and this is what I'm going to do now? Or did you think you'd be this big?
I don't think so. Really? I think part of where we found success is not thinking too much.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think a lot of people overthink like, okay, I need to do this, this, and this. And, you know, it's super hard to become an actor. So I'm not even going to try. We didn't know how hard it was, but we just like went for it. I think that's like part of where we found success, or like, we didn't know, you know, exactly, you know, the formulas for creating like the best videos online at this point. Like we were still young and like green, but we just went for it and posted content.
Yeah.
And I think as I, you know, started to progress, I sort of like was learning a lot and then started to see like where this could go. But definitely from the start, I was like, it was kind of just like, growing followers and like making money from it.
Right.
Eventually I realized I needed to have like a vision.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is the vision now?
Vision now. I like to think of myself as like a young Ashton Kutcher, like the modern young Ashton Kutcher, where like he takes his, you know, acting presence and grows that, becomes like, you know, a huge star, but is also on the business side of things and the tech side of things and is an investor. And, you know, if Ashton doesn't want to act, he doesn't have to. And I think a lot of actors are trying to like take that route now, but they don't know how to do it. Like right. They're maybe just good at acting. But the spin on it is like, now there's the social media element involved and, The acting space is a little bit different, and like the going getting to the top is no one's really done it in like today's space now, so there's not like a paved set path.
Right.
But yeah, like I want to have this big presence in the world and be able to, you know, launch different businesses and products and charities and give back to the fans and just have fun along the way. I think one of my like very specific goals is I'd like to be like a superhero or supervillain in like a huge action movie,
like a Marvel.
Yeah,
be sweet.
Yeah,
the Green Goblin.
I like I want to play like a like the Joker or something like that. That'd be like good. A hard role.
That's
like
really hard.
Yeah,
I could see that. That's cool, man. I'd see as the young Ashton Kutcher for sure. I mean, that guy's really paved out an incredible career for himself. Great brand, and he's, you know, invested in multiple, you know, companies as well. I'm an investor in one of the companies he's an investor in, and it's been incredible to see what he's done. I don't know him personally, but he's always impressed me. So
yeah, no, same.
And that, if you could do that, I mean, hey, that's great vision, man.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And so what's fascinating now is you're 20 years old, and you've started a couple of companies already, and you have this thing called Team 10. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what is Team 10, and what was the vision for creating this?
So, sort of right when I backtracking, like before the acting stuff, like that's one side of me. Social media side's one side. The business side is like, I was sitting here in LA. I was like, how do I become bigger than just myself? Or how do I create like an empire? And I asked myself, and a couple of my mentors were like, think of how you can create money while you're sleeping, like mailbox money, where like you're just getting checks, for not doing anything necessarily. And I started to think of how this would be applicable. And I was like studying the entertainment space, and I saw what Dr. Dre did, where he was a big artist himself. He had a skill set. And he would find people with the potential to be like him. He would teach them that skill set, help them like cultivate it, and then put them in front of his audience. And from that, they would blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes Eminem, 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Tupac. And he starts to create this network. And Dr. Dre becomes bigger than himself. But then what he did that was special was like takes that network of influential people that he's very close with and puts a pair of headphones on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's his billion-dollar exit. And so I was like, okay, is this same model applicable in social media? Can I find someone else who has potential, small following, and make them massive online? And so I put it to the test, and it immediately worked. I found these kids. They had like 30,000 followers at the time. And
like brothers or
they're brothers, they're twins. Yeah. And brought them out to Los Angeles for like a month, started making videos with them, taught them like, you know, little tips and tricks to add to their content, taught them like how to post across the different platforms, like all the little things that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them in front of my audience, and they were young, good looking, and good at making videos. And so they immediately went from like 30,000 followers, to like 500,000 in a matter of weeks.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, this worked.
What are they at now?
Now they're at like 15 million.
What?
Yeah.
On one channel or on all channels?
Just all their channels combined.
Wow.
Yeah. But at the time, it was kind of just like a test, and I was seeing if it would work. So, and I was still 17 at the time.
That's crazy.
But a couple months later, I turned 18. I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business, get lawyers to have to draft up contracts, and incorporate and start signing people to what I call a social media label. And a lot of people are like, oh, this is like an agency where you're like signing talent, or you're a manager. But the difference is like we're like a family, and when we're a team, and we're incubating talent and taking like a percentage of their careers for like longer periods of time, excuse me. And that's why I call it a label, because it's like more involved on like sort of everything that's happening. We're investing time, money into these people to launch them from the start. And they're helping us with all of our businesses, like free promotion here. They grow our next influencer.
Wow.
And so it's like a family, and that's where the name team came from. Because I was like, I'm going to create a team that like sticks together in social media and rises to the top. Because one thing that I saw is that like influencers were too competitive and they weren't like helping each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is dumb. Everyone can gain from this. I'm going to create the organization to do this. And so found this girl. I knew her from Ohio, actually. Yeah. And she basically was working at, she was working at Panera Bread. And
good old Panera.
I love Panera, yo. But basically she's like, I want to model and like move to Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, like you actually could, like she's a good looking girl, funny, good personality. And I was like, okay, you're going to be like the first person that I'm going to sign to Team 10.
And she had how many followers?
She had 2,000.
On Instagram or something?
Instagram only, yeah. And like didn't do any other platforms. Didn't even like make content. She was just like her friends following her. And so brought her under the wing and she started to grow insane. Same thing, like 2,000 to like a couple hundred thousand in a matter of time. And now she's at like 7 million. And
what?
Yeah.
This is like 2 years or something? Or?
This is in like a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And so.
And she lived, and you guys have a house, right?
Like yeah.
Where you all live together?
Yes, we have a house. And
does 10 of you live with the house or what?
There's, I mean, it depends what day it is, honestly, right. But there's like people in and out all the time, but
sure.
Definitely a lot of people. And the idea of that is like everyone's there creating content and collaborating mm-hmm. with each other. So awesome content comes from it, but then we can just take a new piece of talent and plug them into the system.
And blow them up.
Exactly.
Wow. And you're getting brand deals for these individuals too. You're helping kind of their content strategy, or what are you doing for them?
Yeah. So, content strategy, we help them identify editors if they want them, mm-hmm. Promotion, brand deals, introductions to like other businesses in the social media space, like help them maybe get signed to an MCN. And then even like wanting them to transition into traditional media. So like I've gotten a couple of them onto the Disney show and wow. like giving them credibility there.
Wow.
And it's kind of, there's like 13 people signed now. And we've taken so many people from like small amounts of followings. And now it's like this like self-feeding
wow.
thing
engine.
That almost runs itself when we like plug someone new, into it. And like the fans love us as a family.
That should be a reality show right there in the house, right?
I'm not saying we're not working on it.
Right, right.
But yeah, and that's like kind of the idea of it. And from there, with that sort of like base in mind, the vision got bigger of like sort of like what Dre did. Like, okay, now there's this network. Now what can we do that's like super scalable? Like that's a great business and it makes money. But what can we do that's like, because I have big visions. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay.
But you're taking like a percentage of each one of them for brand deals and stuff like that. It's not like a consistent thing for everyone. It's like, it depends on what they do, right?
Exactly.
Because you're not getting paid for how big their growth is getting. It's only if they get paid on top of that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they have to make money.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a piece of their piece.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, but what's unique about it is like now we have this like, it's essentially a marketing platform.
Right. We're like, say, here we got 10 people with 100 million reach, you know, come in here brand or come in here product or whatever, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the vision was like, how do we create our own thing that we own?
Your own product.
That,
or tech.
Exactly.
Or app or whatever, right?
Yeah. And so that's where the vision got bigger. And actually, like, went out to raise money for that, like the bigger vision of creating like, you know, those scalable products. And met like a ton of people through that. We ended up raising like $1 million, just like recently, mm-hmm. and now just like attacking the space like full force, with a team of people. And and now there's people behind the scenes that are like helping out and like
right.
advisors, and it's sort of shaping into, you know, what I wanted it to, I guess, from the start. And it's becoming more legit, and you know, every day there's growth, and we're basically like just figuring out the holes in the social media space and even in like the traditional media space, and how to best like monetize in the space. And so that's kind of like what we're working on there.
What's the biggest challenge for you right now? All these opportunities coming your way, acting, daily vlogging, this, you know, 13 people on your team, building businesses on the side, trying to make the Olympics, which is crazy, but what's the biggest challenge you're facing right now?
The biggest challenge is
which girls to say yes to on dates.
No. the opportunity, like too much opportunity. Mm-hmm. You can drown in opportunity. And so like figuring out again what to prioritize, what to say no to and what to say yes to. And there, what I've found recently is there's so many people like trying to pull me in particular in different directions for this meeting or that meeting or to go meet this really important person. But I'm like, is this a really important person like invested into my career? Like I'm going to meet them and they're going to know who I am. And like, sometimes that's great, but like, I got to double down on myself,
just be focused
and get my stuff done and get like my internal meetings done and get like my strategy and plan done and manage my employees on a day-to-day basis and get my content done. And I think investing like in yourself is what I found is the biggest thing, and saying no, more than saying yes.
I think it was Warren Buffett. I'm not sure if it was him or someone else said the difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people almost say no 100% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but it's like really successful people say no almost all the time. And just successful people don't.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang and a Lufsen sound system, and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours today at Acura.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I don't know about you, but the more I prioritize taking care of myself, the longer my social battery can last throughout the day. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves way too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. But therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain or exhaust your battery. Now, what's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, that introverted time. Therapy can help you get clear on this. And if you're thinking of getting started on your mental health journey, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
Yeah. And I think that's like what I'm finding out. And I found like the areas that I want to play in and like what I'm good at. And we have like our vision and our trajectory to get there as a company and both as like an individual.
Right.
And not going away from that trajectory and mm-hmm. sticking to it as much as possible. And a lot of times, like you said, it's saying no and staying in the office and working. I already did the meetings with the investors, you know. Yeah. So
first year or two, you were doing meetings, you're meeting people. Now it's time to grind and get it done, right?
Exactly.
What about the? I have a few more questions I want to ask you, but I'm curious about the interaction with your brother. Now, I'm the youngest in my family, and my older brother is one of the most successful, talented jazz violinists in the world. He's played with the top artists, and he's always been very talented and successful. So I've always had that hunger to kind of, you know, friendly compete. I'm not trying to be a musician, but just like compete to be at the same level, right?
Yeah.
What is that like for you guys? I know you guys work together a lot of things, and you're, you know, obviously a family and supportive, but I'm curious for you as the youngest. Are you the youngest in the family?
Yeah.
Yeah. As the youngest, how do you feel? Do you feel like just this constant hunger to get, you know, kind of a little bit bigger and kind of be like, oh, this video did a little bit better than yours and kind of be competitive? Or what is that like for you guys?
100%. So there's, like you said, it's a friendly competition. Uh-huh. And, you know, we both feed off of each other. Mm-hmm. And for him, it's like, I can't let my little brother pass me. And for me, it's like, I want to be better than my older brother.
Because he was always bigger than you on Vine, right?
Exactly.
He was kind of like the big deal on Vine.
Yeah. And I was kind of always in the shadow. And you know, people would, even fans would comment like, oh, Logan's Vines are so much better. And
how did that make you feel?
It was a tough thing to deal with. But there was more positive than negative, and that's what I tried to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people would be like, "Oh, you're in a shadow. You're doing the same exact things as him." Blah blah blah. But I knew, I personally, and Logan won't probably ever watch this, but I personally always knew that I was smarter than Logan.
Wow.
And I knew that I would work harder than Logan. One thing that Logan is a lot better than me at is like creating content.
He's brilliant at it.
Yeah,
I've watched him.
Yeah, and so. That's one thing that like he has the crown on, but I knew I was smarter and I knew I would work harder. And we're starting to see those like hints of me catching up or passing him.
Cause you pass him on YouTube now,
I pass him on YouTube.
And you started around the same time.
Yeah. Well, he actually has like 30 days on me.
Wow. He must hate that.
Yeah. But it drives him.
Sure.
And same thing on the
business side of things.
And also like in traditional media, he's killing it there as well.
He's getting movie deals. He's getting acting, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. He's on billboards.
It's like Sunset. Digital stuff. It's like digital stuff.
YouTube stuff. Yeah.
So arguably like people are like, oh, like you're doing, you know, better than your brother in the acting space. And I'm like, maybe. But I always told myself, and even when I passed him on YouTube, like my dad called me, like my friends texted me and they were like, you passed Logan. And I was like, yeah, that's like a goal of mine. But like, if that's what I live to do is to pass my brother, then that's all I'll ever be. And so I try to think like one step higher and say like, you know, that doesn't matter. Like I need to look above that.
That's a great goal to hit. Now what's the bigger thing?
Exactly. Yeah. And it was never like, it was always in the back of my mind, and like we push each other and he'll be in the gym late night so that like I want to go to the gym and he's doing crazy stuff for his videos. And so I have to like, you know, up my stuff and vice versa. And so it's a friendly competition, but it's only healthy for both of us because we're just pulling each other up and up and up and up. And so it's fun to,
do you think you'd be where you're at right now if he wasn't in the video creation space, if he was just doing like in college, just hanging out?
I don't think so.
Where do you think you'd be, like following wise or just in, would you be in LA? Would you be?
I'd definitely be in LA. I don't think I'd have as many followers because I have learned a lot from him from the start. And now he's learning a lot from me. And vice versa again. And so I definitely wouldn't be where I am in following, if it wasn't for him. And I think the same goes again for him because, you know, I needed him in my videos. He needed me in my videos in Ohio. Like, so, it's definitely been like a mutually beneficial relationship.
It's funny. I was in the Olympics in Rio with him. We spent a lot of time there. He was with, Mark. Right?
Yeah.
He and Mark were there, and so I was hanging out with them at different events and just walking around Rio having dinners and stuff. And it was amazing to see, like, ideas come to his head, like the creative process of, like, just walking down the street and he was like, oh, wait, Mark, do this, and, like, film this. And and just like his process was fascinating to me, just to see it from an outsider's point of view. So he's got that talent, he's for sure, got it, creativity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got the creativity, like especially on like the comedy skit side of things.
Very funny, yeah.
And the angles and the way it's shot and edited and put together, like I say, he's the number one for like the comedy space or like the skit space, and his Facebook numbers really show that. So
the videos are just blowing up there.
Exactly.
Let's see how many followers do you have there.
I think like
20 million or something.
Yeah, like 15
close.
Million.
Yeah, wow.
Which is just ridiculous. Which shows like he knows the viral space more than anyone, I think, and knows how to execute upon it, at least on Facebook and Instagram. And so that he has on lockdown. But like I said, I've always been like, if I want to stop making videos right now, you know, I could do that. And so I think it's like work smarter versus like harder.
Yeah.
And I know he like looks at my views every night on YouTube and I look at his and like right now I'm doing more views. But what a lot of people don't understand, even other influencers who might look at my numbers, is I have 13 other people making videos that I own, like those views technically, and like add those on top and all of a sudden I'm doubled. And like, that's what a lot of influencers, they haven't thought like that. And so that's what I'm like super excited about, is just continue to grow that.
That's great, man. Amazing. Final few questions for you. This is a question called the three truths that I ask everyone at the end of my podcast. Now you're the youngest. Is he the youngest I've had on? So you're the youngest I've had on at 20. I think Logan was 21 when he came on, maybe, or 20. It was a year ago or something. So what is he now, 22?
I don't even know.
Yeah. 20. So anyways, you're the youngest officially. And I ask this to people. It's called the three truths. And if this was many years down the road and it was your last day, you know, whatever, 100 years from now, your last day, how old you're going to live till, and you've created everything you've ever wanted to create. You've built the businesses. You've sold companies. You're the biggest star in the world. Whatever it is you want to do, you've done it. And for whatever reason, all the content you've ever created is erased from time. Every video, every book, every app, every business, it's gone. And it's your last day and you're about to go to sleep for the final time. And you have a piece of paper and a pen where you get to write down only three things. And these are three truths, the three truths that you would pass on to the world, the three lessons, the three statements. So this would all be people to remember you by. No other videos or any other content. What would be your three truths?
First thing that comes to mind is hard work beats talent. I've just seen that time and time again with like influencers, with business people, celebrities. Hard work beats talent. That'd be one thing that I would write down. Two more. it's a big question. I would say like successful people, and this is like a quote from somewhere else, but like successful people don't worry about what others are doing. And from my experience, being in Hollywood, it's very political and very, there's a lot of drama in relationships and especially in the influencer space. And it's so easy for me to like get caught up in like what they're doing. And I found a lot of success in branching away from that. And so that's another thing that I would write down. Third one. This is big. This is like the final truth. So something about giving, something about like doing good for others. It sounds cliche, but what I found in growing out the network that I have with other influencers is like at the start, I was just always giving and giving and giving and seeing nothing in return. And then later on, that's when the rewards come. And so I think as much as you can give to people without expecting anything in return, whether that's giving to charities, whether that's giving people advice, whether that's giving people promotion in a video or, you know, giving back to your fans and thanking them, I think that always comes full circle. Mm-hmm. And what goes around comes around. And I think life will then give back to you.
Yeah.
Because at the start of like growing Team 10 alone, it was just like a lot of giving and nothing in return, until like very recently, actually. And so I found out that if you can give in relationships or in business or in life or to charities, that I really think that whatever the higher power is, I think there's something up there that then gives you that back in greater form.
That's great, man. I love those three truths. What's something about you that you're really proud of that most people don't know? You share everything online. Is there something that maybe small that you've done that you're like, I'm really proud of this, but most people don't know or haven't told anyone? Or
that's a good question. I think, I put everything out there. No, I would say a lot of people don't realize, like, and I keep on relating back to Team 10, but I've just like learned so much. I've learned more from building a business and than anything else in life. And a lot of people don't know that, like, I've basically funded a lot of the people on Team 10 from the start and like helped them with their careers, like both financially and like, with advice and stuff like that. And I'm proud of that.
That's cool.
And I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah, that's really cool. And for my listeners, where's the future of kind of social media for them and your experience? A lot of these individuals are entrepreneurs. They don't have the following that you have. They're, you know, trying to grow an audience to build their business. They're not like personalities necessarily. Where do you see in the next year and a half, 2.5, 3 years that they should be thinking about now and doing now that's going to pay off then?
That's a good question. So I think the number one thing is video. Like, you have to make videos. I see a lot of companies that just post cool pictures about their product or about what they're doing or whatever, but video is so engaging, so much more retention and so many people coming back and so many more people like falling in love with you or your brand. And so focus a lot on video creation. And I think a lot that goes into it, that is time. And a lot of people want to do social media, but they don't really want to do social media. And you have to really want to do social media to see success from it. And that's when you'll see like all of these companies who are literally just solely successful based off of social media, is because they're hustling every day for their brand and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And this space is so competitive. So you have to really, if you want to do it, don't do it half-ass, and invest time into it. And you're going to have to invest money into it. And you're going to have to invest ideas and innovation. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see like the future of it going. 'Cause it's just becoming like more and more crowded.
Yeah.
So you really have to break through somehow.
I like it. I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Jake, for your incredible spirit. You got this incredible energy. Every time I've been around you, every time we've texted and talked on the phone and stuff, you've got an amazing energy and your ability to have a vision and come out here when you're 16, 17 and move away from Ohio, which is not easy to do.
Yeah.
Move away from home and come into a big city and start attacking your dreams full on. Not many kids your age do it. Not many people 35 do it. And it's impressive to see that you're so humble and thoughtful about giving as well. You know, not many kids are thinking about how can I give back? How can I create something meaningful, you know, inspiring, and also have fun and be entertaining as well. So I acknowledge you for your courage, man, because
Thank
it takes
so
a lot
much.
Of, you know what, to get out here. And your ability to just be a good human being at the same time and not lose yourself out here, like a lot of people are doing. Influences are getting too big for themselves. And you've kept your Ohio roots, so I want to acknowledge you for all that, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, man.
Of course, man. Before I ask the final question, where can we connect with you? How can, you know, the 7-year-old that's listening watch the show that you're doing on Disney? What can we do?
So Disney show is on Sundays at 8:30.
It's called Bizardvark. Bizardvark.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to say. My social media handles are just all at Jake Paul. I have a business email that, like, it gets a lot of emails, but I do read through them. Mm-hmm. It's just jake@team10official.com if people want to reach out and, like, talk to whatever. I don't know.
Okay. Invest in a business.
Exactly.
Sponsor you guys, trying to get a product launch. You guys are open to different inquiries, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Or if they think they have what it takes to be on Team 10.
There you go.
Okay. And that's basically, like,
subscribe to you on YouTube. If you guys want to learn about how he's doing it, subscribe on YouTube. It's Jake Paul on YouTube.
Yeah, I also have a Jake Paul Biz channel. Oh, wow. I post once a week on there, and I talk about business.
Really?
Talk about social media.
Oh, man. You should cut some of this and put it on there.
Yeah. Tips and tricks. I'll throw it on there. Yeah. Tips and tricks to grow your social media following.
That's
like
great.
My experience in raising money from investors.
Very cool. Jake Paul Biz.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. That's cool. Where else? Anywhere else? It's all Jake Paul, Team 10.
Team 10.
You've got some big announcements coming out we won't talk about right now with some new products and businesses. So follow him so you can get those updates in the next few months when you'll be launching, which I'm really excited about. It's been fun to talk about that with you. And you've got a book as well?
Yeah, I've got a book. It's a memoir about my life. It's called You Gotta Want It. And it's written in a motivational way, but it also goes into, like, more detail about...
But it's mostly for teens, right? So if you're a parent listening, buy the book and give it to your child, right?
Yeah. So my dad, like, hands it out in Ohio.
Awesome.
And, like, the feedback I get is, like, the kids read it and they just feel, like, super motivated. So
there you go. So get the book.
Could be good, yeah.
Okay, cool. Final question for you. What's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness, there's a lot that goes into that, but for whatever field you're in, if you are, it could be arts and crafts, it could be rapping, it could be business, it could be if you're in school. My definition of greatness is just being a top player and a top influencer in your specific field. And if you're able to smile and have fun during that, I think that's greatness. Because you're the best at what you do, or one of the best, and you're having fun. And that's great.
Jake Paul, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, bro.
This is awesome.
Appreciate it. And there you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this one with the YouTube personality, influencer, and Disney star, Jake Paul. Make sure to share this with your friends, lewishouse.com/463. Let me know what you think. Make sure to connect with Jake on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube @JakePaul and let him know what you enjoyed about this the most over on his social media channels. Tag me, as always, on your Instagram stories while you're listening to this, and I'll make sure to always reply to you over there if you tag me on your stories, as I like to hang out there more lately. And we do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it's all about giving you the most inspirational information, the most inspiring people, and the best ideas to help you unlock your inner greatness. Thank you guys for being along the journey with me today and with Jake Paul. I love you very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.